And tonight, if you have your Bibles, in 1 Kings, the 18th chapter, it's a very familiar story, but let us read it in your hearing tonight. 1 Kings 18, verse 21. And the Bible said, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock and lay it on the wood and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it first, for ye are many. And call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud. For he is a God. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awaked. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets until the blood gushed out upon them. It came to pass when the midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in the order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood. And said, fill 4 barrels of water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran around about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. It came to pass at the time of the evening. Let me read it again. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art the God in Israel, that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord. Hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stone and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. I believe that every generation is responsible to their own generation. I cannot preach to those that have already went on. Neither will I be able to do so if time goes on, to preach it to those that shall come after me. But I must preach to this generation. This is my hour. This is my time. Oh yes, this is my time to declare the truths of God's Word. In our scripture reading today, Elijah comes thundering out of the hills and cries, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If God be God, serve Him. And if Baal, then serve him." For you see, Israel had dropped in such a state of apostasy that no longer did they really know which God was the true God. Some were praying to Baal. Some were praying to the Lord God of heaven. And there seemed to be two opinions there. Some were saying Baal is God, and some were saying that the Lord God of heaven was the real God. But Elijah calls them to a showdown. And he said, it's time to find out who is God and who is not God. Help me and let me preach to you tonight. And so he said, how long halt ye between two opinions? Said, we've got a test here we're going to put you to. We're going to take and build an altar. We're going to kill a bullock and put it up on the wood on the altar. And we're going to let you pray. And the God that answers by fire and consumes the sacrifice, let him be God. And all the people said, it is well spoken. And so Elijah said, let the prophets of Baal go first. And so the prophets of Baal took their sacrifice and put it upon their altar. And they began to pray and they prophesied. I imagine it's about like some of this prophecy you hear from some of these Jezebels today. But they prophesied, didn't they? They sure did. They were prophesying. Amen. And they were praying. Oh, yes, they were. But there was no answer. They became so furious because there was no answer, that it, by the time midday had arrived, the prophet Elijah began to mock them and said, maybe your God's asleep and needs to be awakened. Or maybe he's on a journey. In other words, maybe he's taking him a vacation somewhere. And they prayed on through the midday. Finally, they became so furious because there was no answer from their God Baal, that they began to leap upon the altar, and they begin to cut their bodies with lancets and hatchets until the blood gushed out. But there was still no answer. And at the time of the evening sacrifice, Elijah said, come near unto me, all ye people. I want you to come near. It's my turn now. And that is my subject tonight. It's our turn now. It's our turn now. Come near unto me, all you people. And they gathered around. He repaired that altar. He took him 12 stones representing the 12 tribes of Israel, showing that he still had faith in the covenant that God made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he repaired that altar and set up those 12 stones. Then he killed the bullock and laid it upon the wood. And just to show that he wasn't pulling any rabbits out of the hat, like some of these modernistics today, amen, he said, I want you to bring, how many barrels of water was it? 4 barrels of water. And pour it on this sacrifice. And they poured it on there. He said, bring them again, 4 more of them. And they brought them and poured it on again. And then he said, well, maybe you ought to get another batch of that water and pour it on this sacrifice until that sacrifice was thoroughly saturated and the trench around the altar was filled with water. Then the man of God steps out and he begins to pray a short prayer and says, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God and that thou hast turned their hearts back again. Then the Lord God of heaven sent fire down and it fell upon that sacrifice and it consumed that sacrifice. It licked up all the water in the trench, and it even burned up the stones round about the altar. Usually we use water to put out fire, but this time fire was scooping up the water, because God had answered by fire, and all the people, they begin to get together now. They said, there's nothing to Baal. The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. Now, I'm down to where I want to start preaching to you. Listen to me. We've had a great mass of people pass through this generation. We've had so many religious movements that many have become so confused they do not know which way to go. I mean, we've had every kind of religion you can think of. The hippies and the yippies with their Jesus movement. Yes, sir. We've had the Jesus people. We've had an era of time of miracles, so-called, with bloody crosses on the forehead and oil dripping from the hands. We've had an era of time when we've had men carrying electric chairs, and the only way you could get a revival is to be an ex-convict somewhere. Amen. We've had those to pass by that could play a French harp, a guitar, a steel guitar with their toes, and drums with their elbows, and call themselves a one-man band. We've had all kinds of things that's passed by this generation. Then in our day, we are now coming and are in the move, which is one of the greatest false moves the devil's ever ushered in. And it's this charismatic movement where there is no convictions. There is nothing to be stationary or to put your faith in. It's all based on emotion and so-called a false love. Yes, we've had the area of time with the long-haired singers. Yes, we have. Now we've got Sister Vestal now wearing her pantsuit. Amen. And hundreds of so-called holiness people going to hear her sing. We've passed all of these things. They've come into our era of time. But I want you to know, it seems in the midst of all of this, that the old-fashioned holiness people and the old-fashioned holiness preacher has been shoved back in the corner. And all of these things have moved out into the front. And it looks like they've left us far behind. But I'd like to tell you, it's getting close to the time of the evening sacrifice. And I'd like to tell you, it's our turn now. If we're really God's genuine saints, if we've really got the goods, if we really possess the holiness that we say we possess, then it's our turn to prove that there is a Lord God in heaven that is able to take us out of the world and separate us and call us to be a special people, holiness unto the Lord. It's our turn now. When I was just a boy, my brother and I, we hunted a lot. Back then, a man could work all day for $1 a day. And if we could get us a good skunk hide that didn't have hardly any white on it, we could get $1 out of it. That's right. And so we trapped animals, skunks and civet cats and pole cats. One day on the way to school, running the traps, we had a couple old skunks. We took them out, and my brother skinned them and carried them to school in his coat pocket. And the teacher sent us both back home. You know why. Yeah. But we always hunted a lot. And we only had one light. And I was younger than my brother, and he never wanted me to go with him hunting. and say, "You're just a little too small to go." But I still wanted to go as he took the old dogs out. I still wanted to go. But I was afraid of the dark. And so I'd try to hold on to the light. But when them dogs had hit a trail, my brother grabbed that light and he'd head out, and I'd end up many times in a blackberry patch or a briar thicket in the dark. I went with my case to my mother and I said, "Mama, Bill runs off with the light." And so she gave us a lecture one night. She said, "You are to take turns carrying this light." Said, "You carry it a while, Bill, and then you let Don carry it. And then he'll let you carry it a while, and then you let him carry it again." So my brother agreed, and we took out across the country, him carrying the light first. Got way down away from the house, a mile or so, maybe 3 miles. And the old dogs hit a trail. My brother, he took off with that light, running as fast as he could go, and left me in the dark. And here I'm coming after him, and I end up right in a big blackberry thicket, and I couldn't find my way out. When they finally found me, I was a crying and a screaming, saying, "It's my turn to carry the light." And that's all I could say. "It's my turn to carry the light. It's my turn to carry the light." My dad finally made his way over there and said, "What's wrong?" And all I could tell him, "It's my turn to carry the light." Well, I can't help what the great preachers accomplished or didn't accomplish in the past, and you can't either, but I'd like to tell the church tonight, it's our turn to carry the light of Jesus Christ to this generation and declare to them that there are still a people who's been to the altar of dedication and consecration, and we're waiting for the trumpet to sound when Jesus will come back to take us out of here. It's my turn. These brothers stirred me up today. Whoa, getting hot, I tell you the truth. These brothers stirred me up today as Brother Barnett asked the question, "What will this generation do with that mantle? What are we going to do?" A lot of young preachers come to me, and I know great, spectacular preacher, but they come to me, and some of them's here tonight that's asked me this question in times past. "Brother Rich, how do you get all these camp meetings? Boy, we wish that we could preach some of these camp meetings. You may get your opportunity to carry the light someday. And what are you going to do with it when you get that opportunity? Come on now and help me." Amidst all the world, amidst all the ungodly, amidst all the Jezebel, amidst all the watchers, and those that are seeking pleasure and entertainment in the world, I still believe we've got some in this generation who are going to carry the light to this generation and proclaim unto them that Jesus Christ is still the hope and the light of the world. Yes. As Elisha followed Elijah, waiting, my brother, for his turn. Oh, he just poured waters on the hand of Elijah. Elisha had never performed a miracle. Every time you read about him, he was always ministering as a servant to Elijah. But one day Elijah looked at him and said, "Ask what shall be done for thee before I be taken out of the way." And I believe that Elisha's request even shocked Elijah. He did not say, "I'd like to be as good a preacher as you are." He said, "I want to be twice as good a preacher as you are." He didn't say, "I want just as much power as you've had." He said, "I want twice as much power as you've had." Amen. The miracles that you've done, I want to have twice as much grace and strength to work those miracles as you've had. And Elijah looked at him and he said, "You have asked a hard thing." Didn't he or not? That's what he said. "Nevertheless, if you see me when I go away, it'll be so. If you don't see me, it will not be so." And so they two went on. You know the story. They passed through Gilgal and went on their way. Finally, they came to the old river of Jordan. Hand me my coat up there. It's already dirty anyhow. Might as well use it. Amen. He come to the old Jordan River. And he saw that old prophet Elijah. Elisha standing back on the banks. Saw him take that old mantle. And he wrapped it up something like this. And he come down to the river of Jordan. And he smote those waters. And when he did, Brother Vernon Carlton, amen, they parted hither and thither. And Elijah and Elisha went across that river on dry ground. But over on the other side of the river, all of a sudden a whirlwind began to take place. Amen. A chariot of fire began to descend out of heaven. And horses of fire began to run through the sky. And that great man Elijah was caught up in the whirlwind and seated himself in that chariot of fire. And them horses of fire pulled him on into the heavenly world out of the sight of Elisha. And Elisha stands there. He said, "Say, I'm on the other side of the river, and my prophet is gone." Yes, you're going to be left on the other side of the river too, sometime in your life. But as Elijah went up, coming down out of the sky, close your eyes, Sister Rich, coming down out of the sky, amen, came an old mantle. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Amen, Brother Frank. If you'll give me back that coat, I'll give you back your glasses. Amen. Give me that mantle, brother. Amen. Coming down out of the sky. Amen. Was that old mantle? And here Elisha, he picks it up and he looks it over and he sees Jordan and all of its fury. And he says within his heart, "You know, it's my turn now. I've been a dependent on Elijah, but it's my turn now." He looks the old man all over. If it had been in this modernistic day, he'd have said, "Well, it needs a little altering. We'll cut the sleeves out of it. Come on now. And we'll lower the neckline a little. And we'll hem up the hemline. And we'll split it up the side. Amen. About 18 inches. But wait a minute. Elisha saw that old man will work for Elijah just like it fell. So he wasn't going to alter it in the least. He saw it work just like it was. And so he picks it up and walks back to Jordan. And he cries, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he did, the waters part. And that sons of the prophet said, "The spirit of the Lord God of Elijah doth rest on Elisha." What are you going to do when it comes your turn? Come on now. You may have depended on the preacher, but he'll not always be there. Come on now. You're going to get your turn. Oh, just let me preach at one of the camp meetings. You may get the opportunity one of these days. What are you going to do with it? Come on now. I want you to know that Elisha saw it fall, but he saw it work before it fell. For you see, when he was plowing in the field with the oxen, when Elijah came by, as far as I can read in the Bible, Brother Vernon Carlton, he did not say to Elisha, "Follow me." He just come by and touched him with that old mantle. I believe it had so much power and so much drawing spirit in it that Elisha said, "Wait just a minute. I'm going to go back home and kiss mommy and daddy goodbye. I'm going to kill the cow and burn the plow.
now. I'm coming after you. Amen. I'm going to go with you. I want this power in my life. I'll tell you, young people, it's your turn now. Grandma's under the sod. Grandpa's too old. This is our generation. Let's rise up and tell this generation that the blood of Jesus Christ really cleanses from sin, that it still washes and makes whiter than snow. Woo! Sister Rich, come with me just a minute. I remember when my little... Where's Leon at? See your hand, son. Yeah, you better be in here. Come on up here. Now when this boy, who is now... Yeah, girls, he'd like to make you think he's 18, but he's only 16. That's all. But when he was real small, just a toddler, I was out trying to do the work of the Lord. And we took a rundown church in a rundown community that nobody said we could do anything for God there. But I found out if you take your turn, you can still do something for God. And so I moved my family into a house. You've heard of those houses where you could throw the cat underneath the door. Brother, we had to brick up the table legs to get it to set level. We had to brick up the bed legs so their beds would be level in that old house. Amen. There wasn't no carpets on the floors. Just old rugs that lacked about 3 feet of reaching the bare walls. But I was so anxious to do something for God. I moved my family right on in there, Brother Fred, and going to pastor my first church. And there, in that place, there was rats and mice. And this big strong woman, who sometimes is tempted to talk back to this 240-pound man, is scared of those little mice and rats. Come on now. You know what I'm talking about. And so she went and got a lot of rat poison. And a lot of poison and put it out in places where she didn't think the children could get to it. But Leon was what, 2 or 3? About 2 years old. One day she came in and he'd crawl back underneath the sink. Yeah, they can get where you don't think they'll get, can't they? He'd crawl back underneath the sink, got in behind the plumbing, and had got that rat poison and was eating it and shoveling it down. When Sister Rich found him, he had slobbered, and the purple poison on that rat poison had run down on his shirt, and fear gripped her heart. Up until that time, the children had always depended on me to pray for them. When they got sick, get Daddy to pray. But this time, Sister Rich said, "Well, I'll call you. I'll call Don." She thought she knew where I was at. She called there, but there was no answer. She tried to call the deacons, no answer. She tried to call the saints in the church, and everywhere she tried to call, there was no answer. It had came her turn. And finally she said, "Oh, God, this is one time it's up to me and my prayers." She took that child and she prayed for him in the name of Jesus. The Bible said, "If you drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt you." She prayed for him in the name of Jesus, and he just rolled out of her arms and went to playing. She cleaned him up, and he never did get sick. When I rolled into the yard that afternoon, Ramona, which was about 7, she ran out and said, "Daddy, guess what? Mama can pray for us when we get sick just as good as you can. Leon got into rat poison, and Mama prayed for him, and he didn't even get sick." Well, let me tell you something. That's the kind of experience that every one of us is going to have, because it's going to be your turn after a while. What will you do when your turn rolls around to produce the works of God? How many understands what I'm preaching today? Of hundreds of church members, very few are ready for their turn. You're listening to me right? The church is lying in a lukewarm condition. We are not ready for the things that is facing this generation. But we're having camp meeting for one purpose, Brother Emery Long, and that's to get folks ready to take their turn. I don't know whether to get over into a controversial subject right now or not. Go ahead and get with it. Well, let me tell you something, brother. It's going to be your turn after a while. Brother Fred, it was good to watch your dad preach. To me, he was the most unique preacher I have ever heard. I've never seen a preacher before or since that step out on the stage, flip his suspenders and whistle, and folks would start coming to the altar. But brother, he could do it. That's right. I've never seen a man like him before. It was good watching your dad preach. But your dad, I was there when they laid him beneath the sod. Son, it's your turn now. Pick up this old black back, sin-killing, devil-driving Bible, and take your turn at your generation. Holiness will still work if you'll preach it. Folks will still move their televisions out, pastors, if you'll lay it on the line strong enough. I told them in Norman, I said, you may have one and come to this church, but you're not going to enjoy watching it as long as you come to this church. Because every time you turn that thing on, you're going to be reminded of old Brother Rich crying out against the filth and the rotten mess that's on those things. It's my turn now. Somebody told me a few years ago, said, Brother Rich, you're behind time. Said you would have made a great Brush Arbor preacher. But I'm not living in the Brush Arbor era. I'm living in this day. That's right. And this is my generation. But I notice the gray hair that's coming into my head. Somebody else is going to have to carry the light before long. Do we have any men and women that sold out to God and to holiness and sold out for the purpose of the propagating of the gospel of Christ that can fill these preacher's shoes when they are gone? I'm talking about preachers in general. Heard Brother Corley preaching yesterday. Where is the man among us that can fill his place when he's gone? Looking at me strange. But brother, it's our turn to carry the light. Oh God, I'm trying to get cool off enough to preach a little bit. Hallelujah. I'm afraid that we've stood back in the corner and let these charismatics and these loose livers push us back long enough. I believe it's time that we stepped up and said, say, it's my turn to carry the light. Oh, hallelujah. It's my turn to carry the light. Brother, we're living in a world that's dying in darkness. And somebody needs to carry the light of the gospel to a world that's dross in sin, who's sinking down in the mire. Somebody needs to proclaim it. And it's our turn to do it. I must say this. Listen to me. Many of the older preachers have left this new generation feeling that the experiences that they've received now is inferior to what the old timers received. Stay with me now. But I want you to know, young person, if you come to Jesus in 1982 at the Gilbertown camp meeting and you really genuinely become saved and converted, you're just as saved as John Wesley when he was converted. You're just as saved as Grandma was when she was converted. If you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost in this generation, if you really get the genuine, it's the same power that fell on the day of Pentecost that caused those apostles and prophets and the church to spread this gospel, and it's reaching clear down into our era of time. I don't think we need to change the old mantle in the least. It worked for the early church. It worked for Philip down in Samaria. And he turned the whole city to God. Come on now and say amen. When he went into the city of Samaria, he just came from the upper room, endued with power from on high. And he went down and preached Christ, and he turned the whole city to God. Unclean spirits began to come out of many, and they that were sick with palsy were healed. It worked for him. I believe if we'll take it just like it fell and not try to alter it in the least, it'll still work for this generation in this day and hour. For Jesus Christ said he was the same yesterday, today, and forever. We need to rally to the cause of our generation. Say, well, Brother Rich, I just can't seem to get started. You don't start up here preaching camp meetings. Come on now. Sister Rich can tell you where I started. I started down on the street corner. But I had such a desire to carry the light. I wanted to preach. I'd carry my Bible into the churches, Brother Friend. Carry it up high. Let them know for sure I was a preacher, just in case there's needing a preacher that night. Want them to know that I was a preacher. But they'd turn me down and I'd go home disappointed. Sister Rich said, well, you didn't get to preach again tonight. Finally, one day I told her, I said, honey, I'm leaving the house. And I'm taking that little trailer. Where you going? I'm going away to pray. When will you be back? I will not be back until I touch the heavenly world and God gives me some answers. I went and prayed and prayed and prayed. Finally, I said, God, where can I preach? And the Lord said, you can preach down on the streets. Amen. If you'll just go down the streets, you can preach down there. Amen. Be a lot of people coming down on the beach. Lived in Pismo Beach. Said there'll be a lot of people coming down on the beach tonight about 6 o'clock. And you can go down there on the street and preach. And every man you see, he can be your congregation. Amen. And so I went home and told Sister Rich, I said, get ready. We're going to go preach. And she said, oh, did you get an invitation? I said, yes. We're going down on the streets. Got down on the streets of Pismo Beach. Had a little old PA system with me. And I went down to preach. But I didn't have no electric current. Where I set up to preach, where I chose to preach, was right in front of the Rose Garden Ballroom. On the right of me was the carnival. Over here on the right in the Ferris wheel. Back this way was a beach with hundreds of naked bodies out there swimming in the evening of the summer. Over here was a penny arcade and the girly shows. But I stopped right down in the middle of it. An old policeman rolled up and said, what are you getting ready to do? I said, sir, I'm a preacher and I'm getting ready to preach the holiness message. He looked at me and he said, well, said maybe I'll assign you a place to preach. And I said, that'll be fine. He said, I am nothing, but my mother was a holiness woman. Amen. Said, you can preach right there where you're at. Well, the only thing stopping me then was current for my PA system. But I knocked on the door of the tavern. And the man came to the door, said, come on in here. And I said, no, I don't want to come in. He slowly closed the door and I knocked again. Said, open it. Said, come on in, come on in. I said, I don't want to come in. Finally, he said, what do you want anyhow? I said, I'm getting ready to preach right out here. And I've got this PA system and I'm needing some electricity to run my PA system. He said, well, come on in and plug it in. I said, no, sir, I'm not coming in. And I spotted a little window. I said, you plug it in and throw the cord out the window to me and I'll plug my PA system in. And so after a while, a little window opened and out come the cord. And that night, Brother Ralph Harley, the devil paid my electricity bill to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, brother, it was my turn there in Pismo Beach. I began to walk that curb and preach on what will you do with this Jesus, which is called the Christ. Brother, we've still got a message that'll reach out and touch the hearts of men. Jesus is still the bread of life. He's still the water of life. He's still the lily of the valley, the rose of Sharon, the bright and morning morning star. He's still the hope of all humanity. It's our turn. Let's take our turn and preach this gospel to this generation. I want my children to know what it is to feel the Spirit of God churning in their soul. That's why I'm against these dead churches. Now I'm going to throw a block back the other way. I don't care how holy your standard is. If you don't have some Spirit and power moving in your church is not a New Testament church. Now I'm going to help Brother Barnett out on his sermon today, even though it didn't need much help. But I'll tell you, we're living in a day and an hour where one man said, come over to my church. I don't have one short-haired woman. Wonderful. I don't have no televisions. Wonderful. But I got over and he just had 18. And no young people. Come on now. Oh, brother. The task that lays on the shoulders of this generation is to get the gospel to every man, woman, boy, and girl upon the face of this earth. That's our task. Coca-Cola said they were going to put a Coke in the hands of every man, woman, boy, and girl on the face of this earth in this decade. I believe if they can put a Coke in everybody's hand, we ought to be able to get the gospel to everybody's ears and let them know that there's still a hope in a sin-cursed world. Let me hurry on. Let me hurry on, and I'm trying to close. This generation is responsible for this generation. And in some of our circles, especially in the Oklahoma and Arkansas, Brother Vernon Carlton, I've been a preaching for you a long time. If you fall out with me tonight, we'll pray through together. But I'm going to tell you, some of those boys are wrong out there. Amen. They have got so holy, come on now, that they're in a competitive field. And they're seeing who can be the holiest. One of them says, I don't drink iced tea. Another said, that's nothing. I don't even drink Kool-Aid. Other said, I don't drink Kool-Aid either. All I drink is sweet milk and cold water. I mean, we're in a race to see who can be the holiest. I believe in a holy life. But you're going to have all you can do to live up to that book right there. Come on and say amen. You're going to have all you can do to live up to holiness. Some time ago, we had a church at almost split out there because the ladies, sister, pardon me, but because the ladies had on some open-toed shoes like you've got on and wearing sandals. I want you to know I've got on a pair of floor shine shoes, but I've got more Bible to wear a pair of sandals than I do these floor shines. I'm telling you the truth, Bible readers. No, I'm telling you the truth. Away with that stuff and let's get to preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and tell men and women there's still a balm in Gilead for the sin-sick souls. There's still a way out of sin. There's still a way out of bondage. And it's through Christ Jesus. Oh, sinner friend, if you're here tonight, you don't have to die in your sins. Jesus will save you. He'll wash you white as snow. He'll cast your sins behind His back. He'll cast them into the sea. Amen. He won't just whitewash you. He'll wash you white in the blood of the Lamb of God, and you can make heaven your home. Well, I'm going to preach myself to death if I don't stop. I'm telling you the truth. We need to stay with the gospel. Come on now. If you don't want to drink tea, wonderful. I admire your conviction. If you don't want to wear toeless shoes, wonderful. But here's a man, Brother Frank from over in India. He gets the opportunity to preach, he'll preach to you barefooted. Rich Lands the other day, probably 1,000 people up there, and he preaching up there barefooted. I wasn't looking at his feet, I was listening to what he had to say about Jesus Christ. Oh, I'm telling you, saints, we need to get back to the principles of the doctrines of Christ and take our turn in the work of the Lord. Brother Emory Long, I love you and I appreciate you. I can tell a difference in your strength now than I could when I was here before. When I was here preaching this camp meeting before, the first man to hit these floors about every night and shout around these altars was none other than Brother Emory Long. Isn't that right? Folks here know that's right. But I notice he ain't shouting too much now. It's not because he wouldn't like to. Amen. But his turn is just about over. Say, well, Jesus is coming, isn't he? Yes, I believe he's coming in the very near future. But if he don't come in the near future, let's raise another generation that will tell another generation that the blood of Jesus Christ really cleanses from sin and makes men and women whole. It's our turn. What are we going to do with it? It's our turn now. I never did like to play ball. I never did care for it. I was a corn cob fighter. That was my favorite sport. I never did like to play ball because I never could hit a ball. I never was coordinated. I'd get up there and I'd strike out nearly every time. And when they choose up sides at this old country school, I was always, me and another girl by the name of Anna Mae Gray, who was worsely coordinated than I was. We was always the last two, and the teacher would say, small school, 28 students from the first to the eighth grade being taught in one room. And the teacher would say, now you got to play everybody. Everybody's got to play. And so when they'd choose up sides, I was always, Anna Mae and I was always standing there, the last two. And sometimes they'd choose her first, and you could tell the captain of the team didn't want me. If I said, come on, Don. But when it come my turn to bat, I knew I couldn't hit that ball. But I still wanted my turn. I still wanted my turn. Well, needless to say, one day my team was losing. And we had three on base. And it came my turn, and the fella tried to let me give him my turn. Said, you're going to strike out, and we're going to be back out in the field and lose the game. I said, I don't care. That's my turn. I'm going to take it. Would you believe it if I told you I knocked a home run that day and brought all the rest of them in? I never did it after, and I never did it before, but I did it that day. I'll tell you, you may feel like you can't do nothing for God. You go ahead and take your turn. It might be this time that you'll knock your home run. Don't let the devil push you back in the corner. Take your turn. If you're saved and got the Holy Ghost, move on out for God. Take your turn. Deliver what God's put on your heart. And it'll work. Shall we stand? Whew. Oh,